Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today we're going to be covering some creepy and allegedly true cryptid encounter horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamps. Now, without further ado, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and get ready for these creepy and allegedly true cryptid encounter horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, I don't know about you, but I have definitely benefited from having somebody to talk to from time to time. Whether it's on a weekly basis, or a bi-weekly basis, or even a daily basis from time to time, I feel like it's extremely valuable to have this resource at your hands at any time. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Again, I love BetterHelp. I love having the option to talk to a therapist when I need to have it. And I love the option of being able to pull back when I don't think I need it as much. It's always nice to have that helping hand, somebody to talk to, but it is nice to not have to feel obligated to do it. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/swamped today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/swamped. Hi, Swamp Dweller. My name is Hannah. I recently started listening to your podcast thanks to my friend Bailey, who shares this experience with me. I am now 20 years old and live in a small town in South Texas. Bailey and I went to high school together, and we were always with each other. We would go to her sister's house, just a couple of years older than us, to hang out most weekends. Her sister, Shelby, lives in a smaller, older house behind their parents in the middle of the woods. The exterior walls are primarily windows. At the time, there were no blinds and the doors were older. Only one has a window, but at night, it was hard to see out that window. This encounter happened when we were either 16 or 17 years old. It was just like every typical weekend. We'd have some friends over and hang out for some time. When people started to leave, though, and the drinks began to run out, Bailey and I decided to head to the living room to go to bed. This was probably sometime around 1 a.m. I was still awake when the last person left, so I walked to the door and locked it to ensure nothing or anyone would come in. Even though we were in the middle of nowhere and the windows were facing the road, if anyone came down the dirt road leading to the house, we would see them as soon as they turned and faced the gate. I watched the windows as the taillights of the last friend faded and lay back down once they got off the property. I even saw them take the curve back to the main road since it was a clear night. Then, I heard a knock. Confused, thinking that my friend must have turned around after realizing they had forgotten something, and maybe I just didn't see their lights, I opened the door and to my surprise, no one was there. I stood there for a second after not seeing anyone, somewhat shocked because I had definitely heard a knock. Then I slowly shut and locked the door. I turned off all the lights and went back to the couch. The door that was close to the front was closer to me and the couches. It was much closer than the back door, which is the door everyone uses when they enter and or exit the house. So why would anybody be knocking on this one, right? I was wrong. After loud, heavy footsteps that sounded like a giant was stomping on ants, I went from the back door to the front and heard another knock. This time it was louder and seemed to be from something significantly bigger than me. At this time, I thought I was the only person up. Bailey was lying not even 5 feet away on the couch, but it looked like she was asleep since it was so dark. So I decided to lay there and wait for the noises to stop. All through the night, it was a repeated cycle. Heavy footsteps crunched through the leaves and sticks on the ground, going around the house to each door, banging not only to find that the door was locked, but to realize that it wouldn't open. Realizing the knocker was higher on the door than me or anybody else or any regular animal began to dawn on me. Then it started pulling on the door handles, turning it like it was trying to force the door open. This freaked me out the most because I couldn't see if the front door was locked all the way or not. Thankfully, I think it was, because it never got inside. I can't think of what would have happened if the door had been unlocked. The cycle continued from the first knock to the last knock, which was sometime around 2 a.m. I think it might have even gone on longer, I just can't remember. But I do know sometime around 6 a.m. I heard one final massive knock, and then everything stopped as soon as the sun came up. That's when Bailey sat up and realized I was awake. She asked if I had heard what happened all night, and I told her I couldn't sleep through it. It turned out we were both awake, acting like we were asleep the whole time so we wouldn't make any movements preventing whatever was trying to get in from seeing us. When her sister woke up, we asked her if she had heard anything, and she said she did not. We have speculated for many years what this thing could be. We've seen stories of werewolves, dogmen, skinwalkers, all kinds of stuff. I'd love to know what the swamp members think. Thunder roared across the sky. The loud booms echoed overhead like a giant strolling through the area amidst the rain, which tapped on the windows like claws prying their way into the safety of the cabin. I was stranded, alone in the darkness of the wooden shelter. I found myself in a precarious predicament. I didn't get much time before the storm hit. It was so sudden, you may even say it was bizarre. The last thing I remember before it all started was I had walked off the path to a side trail to forage for some stuff I had seen on TikTok that might be in the area. However, I noticed something was off. The trees, they just weren't right. I couldn't put my finger on it at first, but as I walked on, it hit me. None of the trees were different here, all completely symmetrical, almost as if someone copied and pasted one all over this part of the forest. Only then did I notice the sky. Inky black clouds blotted out the sun in an array of unnatural shapes, and the thick foliage overhead made it hard to see, but my visibility dropped to near blindness. I knew I had to find shelter and fast, but I didn't know where I was anymore. My only hope was the trail, which thankfully hadn't gone away yet. I didn't know where it went, but I knew it had to go somewhere, and indeed it had to end sometime soon. So that was my plan. I booked it full throttle down the trail. This was a mistake. As the first crack of thunder shook the sky, with it came the tears of God, an immense downpour and the likes I had never seen before. I had only been running for 10 minutes before my luck ran out, and I slipped into the wet earth beneath me. Falling hard and forward, a blinding white flash illuminated my downfall. I could see the cabin ahead of me, right before I ate a serving of mud pie. The shelter was within my grasp at last. I didn't get up right away though, and I think I regret that the most, because then I heard it. Among all the noises, one stood out as I rested my eyes. It was faint, but it was there. A wet slapping noise was quick, like bare feet in the mud headed this way but not on the trail. As it grew closer, you could hear the trees falling as they tore through the dense forest, each crash distant, rumbling the earth as if it was competing with the sky's voice. My heart fell 10 stories in my chest as the threat was realized. I only came out here for some fungi, not for whatever this thing was. I tried quickly to get up, desperately trying to avoid slipping as I did. I hurried to the cabin as the sky and earth shook together in an elaborate song for the lightning to dance to. That thing drew near as I made it to the door. I prayed for the first time in my life that it wouldn't be locked, and to my amazement it was not. I ran through the doorway, slammed it, and I fell around the edge of the door and locked it in a panic and made sure all the windows were locked as well. As I heard the trees crashing just outside accompanied by that dreadful wet slapping, I almost thought I was too late. But I had found it. A latch. I couldn't help but chuckle as I realized just how little this would probably do. But I obviously locked everything regardless, as it could buy me just a second of time. After I had an opportunity to get my bearings together, I turned away from the door as another flash illuminated the interior through a nearby window. There was a table upside down in the middle of the room. Everything was coated in a thick layer of dust, and chairs were knocked over and astray. There appeared to be no other furniture and only 2 rooms, the second being the bathroom. There was no food, water, or any sign of life. I could only wait out the storm and hope that that thing doesn't find me here. That brings us to where we are now, suffocated in the blackness inside the far corner of the cabin. The tension in the air as thick as I desperately racked my brain for an idea. My thoughts were interrupted by terror as a loud slam made the door shudder, followed by a horrible scream. It was so shrill I had to cover my ears. I thought they might explode. My head was pounding as it ceased its screaming. Not waiting for a second assault on my ears, I quickly checked for a bathroom. Maybe it'd have a small window I could climb out of. Unfortunately, the window in the main room was close to the door, and I knew I couldn't outrun that thing. I couldn't let it see me leave the cabin. I entered the bathroom instantly. Seeing a lack of any window, I wanted to give up and cry. But there had to be something. Anything. I returned to the main room just as quickly as I had left. I screamed, my voice filled with terror and despair as I saw it. A bright flash lit up just enough to catch a glimpse of it as it stood crouched outside the window peering in. Its empty black sockets devoid of life but filled with rage. It was a deer skull, no doubt. It wasn't too tall, and its anatomy was all wrong, almost broken as if it were in agony and its bones were screaming. It radiated death, and I was frozen in its cold stare. In the corner of my eye, I noticed a fireplace as another flash illuminated the room. But the creature had disappeared at this point, and I knew it couldn't be far, only trying to find a way in. So I dove for the fireplace. After being snapped out of my daze, it was my last option. I didn't give it good odds. Part of me already dug a grave for myself in my mind. I didn't get far inside before the sound of wood splintering shattered any hope I had left. The door flew off its hinges against the back wall, the creature audibly slamming into the wall with it probably having jumped full force into it. I made sure to tuck my feet in amongst all the commotion, but my breathing panicked and I had difficulty calming myself down. I was sure it would find me, as I could hear the wood groan under the weight of each step it took as it searched around. One heavy thud after the other, slow and deliberate. Each one sent an icy chill down my spine. Then the smell hit me. It must have been just in front of the fireplace. It smelt like earth and rot with the metallic blood smell mixed in. It was putrid, like a decaying corpse in a shallow grave. But it was much worse. My throat felt ticklish. The stench was too much and I couldn't hold it any longer. I gagged hard, spitting up below. It snarled and its maw snapped with a primal hunger as it shoved its head inside the base of the fireplace. I screamed in horror as hot tears steamed down my face, desperately trying to go up further in the fireplace. As I thrashed, I managed to make it about 5 feet up the chimney, but it, too, was trying to cram its massive frame inside. My muscles were sore and I was tired. I felt like giving up as I watched it well. I sobbed and screamed, my arms and legs were shaking under the strain as I pressed hard against the inside of the chimney. Finally, I felt my consciousness begin to fade under the stress as I looked down at the creature, its vicious snarling and biting never ceasing as it seemingly got closer and closer, and that's the last thing I remember before I fainted inside the chimney. I thought that would be the last time I'd ever be alive. However, I woke up, which was a surprise. I didn't think that was possible. If I were dead, which I, without a doubt, was, but no, I wasn't, to my dismay. I had got stuck in the chimney, so I had never fallen when I fainted. It must have given up at some point, but not without much effort. Bricks had been completely torn away, and it still wasn't enough to reach me. And for that, I'm grateful. But there was still a problem. I was still stuck in the chimney, and the cabin was abandoned. No one would be coming here purposely. I didn't even know where it was. Was there even hope for an escape in this strange forest of identical trees? Or was I doomed as soon as I went off the main trail? I really can't tell. I'll only be able to live so long stuck in the chimney without food or water. I've been trying to get unstuck for about an hour now, and my phone is about to die. So I'm finished writing this as not a send-off, but a warning. If you find this phone, I beg you, please share my story. I'm sure you'll have a dreadful time reading it at first. So it's up to us. If you ever find this place in the forest where every tree is identical, turn back now. Don't be lured into its dark corners where the creature roams, waiting for you to enter its domain. Hello, Swamp Dweller. I have listened to your videos for about 4 years now, so I decided to share my Dogman story. I will give some background detail on this story to start. To start, I am a 13-year-old female. I live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan around the Morsing-Marquette area, and a side note, I live on Native American land far back in the woods. This story took place in about mid-August this year. I had invited one of my friends over. At the time, she lived on a road we call Old Indian Town Road. I'm not a native, but have always felt some spirituality like natives. I consider myself a psychic. So my friend, who I will call Chloe, was doing teenage everyday things. Eventually, she got bored, and we decided that we would go and see some cool things by ourselves. We got on our bikes and decided to ride them around. I am the most athletic of my friends. I play many sports and work out daily. Eventually, we met up with some other friends and got tired of riding up and down the short road we lived on. It got to the point where only three of us remained. In the beginning, there were around eight or nine of us in total. At this point, it was around 9:30 p.m. I have always been terrified of the dark, so at this given point, I started to get uneasy naturally. I wouldn't say I liked being surrounded by thick woods on either side at 10 o'clock at night either. So, we started making our way back up the road. The road is on a relatively steep hill, steep enough to where most people can't bike up without the struggle, even myself. I bike frequently, but I was tired from biking all day, so I strolled up the hill with my youngest person in the group right beside me. She started to get uneasy as well. The other friend was far behind us. He isn't a believer in anything supernatural. He was at the bottom of the hill, and we were near the halfway point. Suddenly, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I thought I was being paranoid at first, until I had the sudden strange feeling to look to my right. I suddenly snapped my head in that direction. My friend from behind me was looking down, talking to me about something, so she didn't notice me stop. We were on the far left of the road, and on the right there was a drop that ran down very far, deep into the woods. Very tall pine trees were filling that deep trench. The woods were so thick you couldn't see the ground and the makeshift track. When I looked over though, I saw a tall, skinny figure looking at me while clinging to one of those incredibly tall pine trees. It almost looked like an emaciated werewolf, but worse than its appearance was what it was doing. It swayed back and forth in the tree almost like a big cat, with large, orange eyes blinking at me occasionally. That's when my friend noticed I had stopped. She asked me what was wrong. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to freak out anyone. I just started walking even faster. My guy friend was still at the bottom of the hill. My other friend and I were almost at the top. I had the worst feeling continuously washing over me. My guy friend finally noticed how far ahead we were and booked it to catch up with us. When we returned to my house, I told them what we saw. The girl behind me agreed that she didn't see what I saw, but definitely felt uneasy when she saw me looking to the right and then speeding up. Nothing more happened that night, but the next day I was walking over to my next door neighbor's house. I was walking over to the girl who was with me when it all happened. That day, she and I rode our bikes and talked about it the night before. It was a lovely day, so we rode our bikes until the sunset again. At one point, I went back to my house to grab something. Walking on the trail to get to her house, I got hit with a sense of dread. That's when she met me, and she started running with me because she felt it too. When we broke out of the tree line into her backyard, we heard a scream that sent us bolting toward her house. And that concludes my story. My friend is Mohawk raised, Seneca native. He has received some training in shamanism, has a full kit, his mask, full regalia, the whole deal. One evening, my girlfriend at the time, H, this guy, C, and I were at a local conservation area. He felt a presence and expressed an interest in returning at night to hold a ceremony. We agreed and returned 2 weeks later. There are wooden stairs set in the ground leading to the top of a lookout area, which at the time was under construction. We arrived at midnight, climbed the stairway and crested the hilltop. He dressed in his regalia, lit some sage, and began the chant in Mohawk. The vibe changed immediately. I remember scanning the tree line as I looked around the area. On a second pass along the line, one of the taller silhouettes was gone. Had some 10-foot person or entity been standing there between me and the trees? Before I could begin to wonder at this missing hump in the dark tree line, C had stopped his chanting. Something is here. I think it's a shaman spirit. He turned and began to chant again. At this point, I was looking down the hill, and I suddenly heard a screech. The best description I can think of is a garage door in desperate need of oiling, closing loudly. Then we heard it again. H turned toward me with her eyes wide and said, "It's getting closer." The thing proceeded to approach us. Somewhere above in the trees in the forest to our right, it was calling in regular intervals as it approached. This loud, screeching noise. As we tracked it with our ears, we looked straight at each other in the dark, and then straight up. The regularity of the cry meant the next one should have been directly overhead. There was nothing above us against the starry background, and no further cry was heard. C wrapped up his ceremony. He gathered his things and we started to leave. He told us he had a vision of a red wolf watching us from the forest. He thought whatever the spirit was powerful and not benevolent. I made it to the stairs before C and H proceeded down them. A few steps in, and the flashlight showed a black mass on the stairs that most definitely had not been there when we came up. A crow wing. Not a feather or parts of an animal. Not like something had been eating it, but an entire wing. I remember towing the edge to make sure it was legit. C came up behind me. "Please tell me you didn't touch it." When I told him I had used my shoe to nudge it a little, he immediately got out a sage and washed the smoke all around me in a full body smudge, chanting in Mohawk as he did so. Then we went back to the car and back to town. We commented that it still felt just as weird in the car as it had in the hilltop. We dropped C off at his house. Then my girlfriend H and I went home. When we got home, I go to bed and H says she is going to read in the living room for a bit. I kiss her goodnight and go to bed. Sometime later I am awakened by a quiet knock on the door. I say come in. I assume that it's my girlfriend, but it's my friend C. He looks scared. He said, could I come to see you? Are you okay? He told me that it followed us home. What do you mean, C? He described that he had gone to bed shortly after we dropped him off, fell asleep and was awoken suddenly because he could not breathe. There was a pressure on his chest, like something or someone was sitting on him, trying to suffocate him. As he strained for breath, just as he was worried about losing consciousness, the pressure would lift. He would get one or two deep sucking breaths in, and the weight would return. He finally decided to come to see if we were okay, and maybe if we could fight back together if I was not. I told him I had been sleeping fine, but if he wanted to stay, he was welcome. He said H had already agreed that that was a good idea and would sleep on the couch. C laid down beside me. Also, as soon as he did, I felt it. My chest was constricted by an unseen weight. I could not take in air. C grabbed my hand as I noticed he was not able to draw in either. And over the next long while, the same thing he described was happening to him at his place happened to both of us at mine. Pressure and gasping. And just when our lungs would begin to burn with the need of air, the pressure would be gone. We would get one, maybe two deep breaths, and slam, that unnatural weight was on our chest again. Over and over and over. Eventually the assault either ended, or I, or we, passed out. I remember waking up at some point much later feeling someone beside me, remembering C and being surprised when I saw H laying there. I remember saying, "Oh, it's you," and hearing a questioning mumble from her before sleep overtook me again. The first thing the next morning, H asked me what I meant when I said, "Oh, it's you." I explained that I was surprised that C had left. "C," she says, looking over at me like I am crazy. "Yeah, when did he leave?" "He never came over. I was insistent that he had. I know the difference between reality and dreamland, but no, apparently I had a very, very vivid but totally normal nightmare. Nothing to worry about. Chalk it up as the strangest dream experience I had ever had, and we go on with our lives." 2 days later, H comes running into the apartment after work. She is a barista at a very cool indie coffee shop downtown that C and I both frequented. She explained that C had been in, and I was to go to his place immediately. "Why? H, is everything all right?" She looked uncomfortable. Not exactly scared, but not okay either. She refused to give me any more details, and to this day I am so grateful she did not. She just explained she had sent him home and told him to wait for me there. I get in the car and head to C's house. I knock on the front door and his mom lets me in. I head to his room and into the back. I knock and enter. "Hey man, how's it going?" he asked. I tell him I'm fine. I just wondered if everything was okay. "You were gone when I woke up the other day." Immediately a tingle went through my body and chill iced my spine. "Excuse me?" "Yeah, you came over the other night, after you dropped me off because something had followed us home and was suffocating you as you slept. When you laid down with me, it started hitting both of us. It still gives me chills to this day. C had come into the coffee shop that afternoon and asked H if I was okay after leaving his place. She expressed some interesting confusion. She told her his story, and without saying a single word about me or my experience, she told C very calmly that she was done with work at 5 and would very much appreciate it if he could be home around then, because she was sending me there as soon as she got home. He was startled and agreed to do so. The reason I appreciate this is she did not want to ruin the wonder of it by revealing the truth to us. She let us discover it from each other. Something did indeed come home with us, and apparently disguised itself as a close friend to conduct a paranormal torment. Apparently, it came to C disguised as me, and came to me looking like him. I'll keep this short and sweet. A few years back, we were having a brutally cold winter. The snow had frozen into ice and covered everything. It was pitch black in the backyard when I let my dog outside one last time before bed that evening. As we exited the house from the sliding door of the walkout basement and onto the lower deck, I felt like something was off. Our home backs up to some woods, so I was accustomed to hearing noises from the wildlife at night. But this was different. Nothing made a sound except the cold Arctic wind, but I felt I was being watched. When my dog was in the backyard, I looked around nervously, expecting a coyote or a predator to pop out of the tree line. My dog did his business, but afterwards stopped and stared at a corner of the woods until I got creeped out and called him back inside. I quickly locked the sliding door and shut the curtains, unable to shake the uneasy feeling I had outside. Then, after double and triple checking all the locks in the house, I finally felt at ease enough to go to bed. Sometime around 3 in the morning, I hear the muffled sound of my dog barking from the basement 2 floors below. I got up, stumbled down 3 flights of stairs, and found him standing at the basement sliding door. He was peeking his head through the closed curtains, barking his head off with the hairs standing up all on his back. I tried calling him away from the door, but he would not let up. I dreaded peeking out the curtain to see what he was barking at, after the uneasy feeling I had from earlier in the night. Finally, I held my breath, swiped the curtain aside. I peered into the blacky inkness, but I saw nothing to cause any alarm. A wave of relief washed over me. I figured it must have been a deer or a raccoon in the yard that set him off. He whined at the door for a few more minutes until I bribed him upstairs with a dog cookie. After that, I went back to bed and wasn't disturbed again that night. That is, until the morning when I went to the basement to let out the dog. I opened the sliding door and walked out onto the deck as he bounded into the snow. When I looked down, my blood ran as cold as the sub-zero morning temperatures. A set of bare human footprints were frozen in the ice on the deck. They were obvious. I could make out each toe of the person's foot. The prints were large and appeared to be in the form of an adult, maybe a male. Looking around, I noticed they started at the base of the deck and disappeared off the side of the deck. I had my snow boots on, so I walked around the yard, but I could find no trace of the footprints in the snow once they left the deck. Keep in mind, the daily temperatures were at around 0 degrees Fahrenheit, and the wind chill was close to 20 below. Frostbite would set in within a matter of minutes for anyone walking around barefoot, especially in the dead of night. I never experienced anything like that again, but I have adopted a second dog. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true cryptid encounter horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, be sure to slap that like button as it helps me out a ton. Subscribe if you're new, as it helps the swamp grow its ever-expanding waters. The more likes and subscribers the channel gets, the more YouTube promotes it, and that helps me out a ton. If you're on the go, but don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free from Spotify, Apple Podcast, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. It's absolutely free and always will be. If you'd like to submit your stories to the Swamp, you can send them in at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. You can also submit them via Reddit at r/thedarkswamp. I'd love to see your stories. It's stories like yours that help keep the show going on a daily basis. I appreciate all of you guys for helping and I'll see you guys soon with another creepy episode.